right, so listen, we are continuing our sermon series today called Better For It. And this series is designed to help us see what we can learn when life throws things our way, trials and storms. We get knocked off balance. We don't know what to do. And this series is designed to help us in the midst of those trials, how we can come out better for it. Last week, Kim started this series, and she talked about how God is always with us and that He has our best interests in mind at all times. Something that she was talking about was that when we're in the midst of a trial, when we go through a trial, oftentimes further down the road in life, we find ourselves in that same situation again or something similar because we didn't learn anything from the first time. Because when the threat of the trial or the pain is gone, we often forget about it. And she had a little phrase that I've heard a lot of people use this week, and it was called, how's it go? It said, pain without gain is a shame. You know, guys who had that, no pain, no gain, right, Rob? Rob Gibson knows that. He's a workout guy. No pain, no gain. But pain without gain is a shame. If we don't learn anything from it, we're bound to repeat it again. Trials are never an enjoyable experience. I don't know anybody who enjoys trials. But when we look for God in the midst of them, we are sure to see where He's at, and we can come out better for it than when we were at the beginning of it, because we can see where He's at, we can use the wisdom that He gave us, the help that He showed us, and we're better people for it. So today we're going to look at how God is our anchor, how He is to be our anchor in the midst of storms or in the midst of trials. And we're going to look at how we can cling to what God tells us to do when life is spiraling out of control, when we're feeling unstable, when we're unable to control a situation, because we're human beings, right? And we like to control what's happening. If I can't control what's going on, we freak out and we don't have any control. We don't know what to do. But we're going to look at today how we can cling to God's Word and how that can get us through the storms of life. Because instability in life has a way of throwing us into a tailspin and keeping us from focusing on how we can properly navigate through that storm. A couple of months ago, we looked at a teaching that Jesus did out of Matthew chapter 7. And the teaching was about a wise man who builds his house on solid ground. When the storms come, the rains hit, the winds blow, his house stands strong because he took the time and used the wisdom to build that house on solid ground. And Jesus prefaced this teaching by saying, if you listen to these words of mine and do them, you will be like a wise man who built his house on solid ground. He's saying, if you listen to my words, you will build your life on solid ground, and you will go through life using the wisdom that I have to offer. When we have the teachings of Jesus hidden in our hearts, we have stability in our lives. There are going to be things that are going to knock us off balance, rock our worlds a little bit. But when the Word of God is hidden in our hearts, it comes out at the right time, and it offers the wisdom and the stability and the strength and comfort and everything we need to get through that storm. All of us are going to deal with storms at some point or another in life. Something that Kim brought up last week in the book of James, it says, when you go through various trials, when, not if, not every, not, it's when you will go through trials in life. And if we're not careful when these storms hit, when these trials come, there can be a lot of damage and a lot of destruction done. maybe within our own lives and also with those around us, because everybody around us gets to deal with what we're going through. And the only way to survive these storms is to be anchored to something that is solid, rock solid, something that doesn't change. And everything in life changes, right? Seasons change, our environments change, our surroundings change, our friends change, we change. But there is one thing that doesn't change ever, and that is the truth of God's word. The truth doesn't change. Something that we've always taught our kids growing up is that, listen, always tell the truth. Because when you tell the truth, you only have one thing to remember. But when you get caught up in stories, right, you've got to remember everything and who you told and how you told it. And the truth never changes. And the truth of God's word is eternal. It's solid. It's stable. It's grounded. And in the midst of a storm, when we cling to God's word, it becomes the anchor that is secure for us. And sometimes it is the only thing that we can completely rely on. And I'm not just making this, I'm not just making this up. This isn't just a good talk for everybody. Listen, in Hebrews chapter 6, it says this: therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. We fled to Jesus for refuge. We have confidence as we hold to the hope. That hope is Jesus. It's his word. And the Bible says it's a trustworthy anchor for our souls. Listen to this, Psalm 119. The psalmist says, I am worn out waiting for your rescue, but I have put my hope in your word. I picture this. I picture the psalmist like, God, I need you. Where are you? I cannot go on another day, another hour like this. My soul is worn out. Mentally, I'm worn out. But I have put my hope in your word. Hope is something that we can cling to. Hope isn't just wishful thinking. The hope that we have in God's word is stable. And our hope in the midst of storms is not based on somebody's opinion. It's not based on the circumstances or our surroundings. It's anchored in God's word, in the hope that his word gives. And that's what we're going to look at today. How do we make God's word an anchor in our lives so that we're not blown around, tossed back and forth by the storms that are going to come our way? This series is based mostly off of the book of James. And just to give you a little bit of context that why James wrote this letter, he wrote this letter to the Christians, to the believers in the Mediterranean area, particularly the Jewish believers, those who were Jewish who converted to Christianity, were followers of Jesus. So the Roman Empire decided that they were persecuting the Christians. They were dispersing them. They were separating them. They were no longer allowed to meet in their homes or as a body of believers. They were being rounded up, evicted from their homes, arrested, tortured, even killed for their faith in Jesus. So James writes them this letter as a letter of encouragement to give them hope, something that they can cling to that will help them survive the uncertainty in life that they were facing. And we're going to be in James chapter 1 this morning. And we're going to start in verse 17. Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word, and we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. I mean, that's a little nugget of hope right there, isn't it? Listen, do you realize that we, as human beings, are the most valuable creatures in God's sight? Out of all the living, breathing creatures on this planet and in this universe, we are the ones that God created to have a personal relationship with. We are the ones that he created to have communion with, to speak to go through life with. We are his prized possession. Each one of us in here are the crown jewel that he has in his crown. He looks down at each one of us and he's so happy with who we are and how we turned out. You know what? Even if we're not living the best life, he's still happy with who we are. He loves us beyond anything. And so let's break this down a minute. Look at this. It says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down from God, coming down to us from God, our Father. Our Father in heaven is a God of blessings. He's not a God of sickness and disease and destruction and confusion. He's not. That is a lie from the enemy that wants you to believe that whatever you're going through, if it's an illness, if it's sickness, if it's confusion, that it's coming from God. This passage right here tells me he is a good father who showers us with perfect gifts. And one of those gifts is the life he chose to breathe into each one of our spirits as we were formed in our mother's womb. And along with that life is his word. Our lives are going to have tests and trials, ups and downs, but God's word will remain the same through it all. God's word will never change, no matter what changes in our lives and what changes around us. His word is perfect. And he did not give us his word for his benefit. He gave us his word for our benefit as a way of promising us that he will always be here with us. It's how he speaks to us first and foremost through his word. You know, in the book of Genesis, in the very beginning, there's a little passage in there, there's a little verse when it comes to the creation. And it says, let us create man in our image. And when I first read that years ago, I was like, let us. Aha! I knew UFOs were for real. Why is it plural? Well, it was us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I know it's kind of mind-boggling, but it's the triune God. It's the Trinity. They're three different, but they're all the same. But then the Gospel of John starts out like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word dwelt with God. The Word is Jesus. Jesus can be seen woven throughout the entire Bible from beginning to end. And in Hebrews chapter 13, it tells us that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. No matter what changes around us, Jesus will never change. This tells us that God's word doesn't change. It's stable. It's truth. And it is an anchor for us to cling to in times of need. And not only this, but it breathes life. It is living. It's life-giving. And this is why I think James wrote, he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. God chose to create each one of us, and he gave us his word so that we can get to know him through it. His word is written on each one of our hearts. It's in there. That's why at some point in time in life, we all have this desire to get to know our Creator. We all have this desire to get to know something out there that's bigger than us. That's God's word that he's written on our hearts. And it's through this word that our relationship with our Creator starts. God's word is a good and perfect gift from heaven given to us, his prized possession. This is our anchor. This is what gives us stability. In order to hear God with clarity, there's also something that we need to do. Sometimes you might be wondering, I wish I could hear God with clarity. I read the Bible and it just seems like jumbled words. Well, let's continue to read. Let's look at verse 21. So, get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. This word right here, this book right here is living. It's alive. And this is what has the power to save our souls. It is the most powerful written piece of material on this planet because it is alive. It may be hard for us to understand at times, and we might not even agree with everything it says. But it tells us to humbly accept God's word. If we don't agree with something or we don't understand something, this is where I call you wrestle it out with God. You wrestle it out with him. You have a conversation with him. God, I don't understand this. Can you help me? Or be honest with him. God, I just do not agree with this. But don't dig your heels in the ground and think you're going to win the argument. But God, I don't agree with this. Can you help me understand why this is what your word says? And I believe if you approach him in that manner, he's going to begin speaking to you. Because what that does is that says, I'm moldable. I'm teachable. I want to understand. It is a gift that is planted in every person's heart, this word is. And when we humbly accept it, it has the power to save our souls, to change lives. The Bible often uses gardening as an analogy. Jesus often used farming and gardening as a way to tell some of his stories. So, keeping this in mind, the beginning of this verse says, get rid of all filth and evil in your lives. Well, you might say, well, I'm a pretty good person. Well, listen, even I have filth and evil in my life. Yeah, there's things that I have to say to myself, whoa, don't go down that path. You know what? Let's choose to approach it like this. It's just who we are. It's the sinful nature that we have within us. But there's something that must be done before we can accept God's word for what it is. We have to do a little weeding. I like right now, I was just talking, who was it? Was it Doug Ledden? We were talking about gardening, getting our seeds started. Pretty soon, it's time for us serious gardeners to start getting those seedlings started in our basement. That's what I do. And then every morning I get up and I run down and I turn the lights on and I water them. And then every evening I do it again and you tend to them. But then when you put them in the ground and they begin to grow and you see the vegetables and then weeds start popping up, those nasty, dirty weeds, what do? Do you leave them there? No, you pull them out. You get them away from the life of the vegetable and the plant that you want. And it's the same with us. We need to weed that stuff out of our lives before we can really accept and hear and listen and adhere to God's word. There will be no place in God's word to anchor itself into our hearts if it's full of filth and sin, sinful behavior. Because that is what keeps us from hearing God's word. This analogy popped into my head. Maybe this will help some of you. If you're not gardeners, you like boating. So when you put the anchor out, it keeps your boat from drifting down the lake, right? What happens when you have an anchor that's been at the bottom of the lake or the bottom of the ocean for many, many years, and then it gets pulled up? What's it got all over it? It's got that slippery green grime, moss, and seaweed and stuff to it. And if it's really been down there for a long time, the shape of the anchor can't be seen because it's just so full of muck. Is there any way that you can cling to that? Have you ever tried to clean the bottom of a boat off when it's got all that green stuff on it? It's really slippery. So if your heart is like that, how are you going to be able to cling to God's word as an anchor? It's God's word that cleans us up. We weed that stuff out and allow him to shape us and mold us so that we can become the people that God originally intended us to be. So what do we do? What do we do if we're like, God, I really want to clean my life up, but I keep falling back into these old ways, or I keep doing things I wish I wasn't doing? Well, again, James talks about that in chapter 5. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I love that verse. I don't love it because I need to confess my sins to somebody. That's not always comfortable. And sometimes because it's not comfortable, we don't do it. But that's why small groups, life groups are so important, because you begin to belong to a little family of believers within your church family of believers, and you can confess your sins to each other. You can talk about the things you struggle with. Maybe you have a pastor that you look up to, or a friend that you're close with. You confess those things to each other. Can we get to the next slide, to that verse? Because I want people to read this. There. What does it say, that bottom line? So that you may be healed. Confession brings healing. You want to know why you can't get rid of that anxiety or that pain or that ache or that hurt or that sadness? Maybe it's because you don't have anybody to talk to. You're not opening up yourself to somebody. You're not confessing what it is that is hidden in your life. Because what is kept in the dark will remain to grow in the dark. But what is brought out into the light, darkness can't dwell. And healing takes place. This is such a powerful verse for people, that if we don't get this in our hearts, we might wonder why we're not advancing in life spiritually or the way that we want to. Amen? We confess to what is in our lives that needs weeded out, and we allow Jesus to help us to make the change. Because it is Jesus, it is the Word of God only, that gives us the power and the strength to make the change so that our bodies will be healed and our souls will be saved. And that is what helps us in the midst of trials. And then, look what we have to do. There's a little more to it. Verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, that's this book, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for it. Is this not encouraging? To me, this is encouraging. Listen, we cannot expect a change to take place if we are not doing what God's word is telling us to do. Jesus said it himself. If you listen to these words of mine and do them, you will be wise. If you listen to, if you read, listen to God's word, you must do what it says. If you don't, you're fooling yourself into thinking life is going to get better. And listen, we may not understand everything in the Bible, and we may not agree with it, but eventually we need to get to a place where we accept it and agree with it. Because God's word is a mirror. See, here's the deal. The more we study the Bible and memorize it and do what it says, God will bless us for that. Oh, I'm not just saying that to make you feel good. It's the last line there. God will bless you for doing this. Because what that means is you're listening to His voice. And you're learning who He is. And He's blessing you for it. See, God's word is like a mirror. It shows us, when we read it, it shows us who we are on the inside. Maybe things that nobody else knows is going on with you. Or they do know and you just don't think it because you've got all this stuff going on inside of you and the slightest thing sets you off. Or this coworker reminds you of somebody who hurt you in the past, so you're mean to that coworker, and they have no idea why you're like that. Because you've got unsettled stuff inside of you. Just like this passage says, when we look at ourselves in the mirror, and our hair is a mess, our face is a mess, we need to shave, we need to brush our teeth, do we walk away and just go out into public like that? I don't. I at least put a hat on. Try to look somewhat presentable. Right? I want to look somewhat presentable. These masks help with the shaving part. But isn't that what we do? So why do we not do that with God's word? When we read it and we say, "Ah, oh, that's me," then we ought to make the change. And if it's a serious struggle, maybe something we've been dealing with for years, maybe we don't think we're ever going to overcome it, talk to God about it. Because He wants to bless you. He wants to give you every good and perfect gift. And if you talk to Him about it, be honest with Him. "God, I've been doing this for years, and I think I need to stop. Because I've been reading your Bible, these daily devotions keep pointing this out to me. Maybe you're trying to tell me something." He will help you with that. I promise you, this is what we're reading here today. And then in the midst of trials and storms, we've got this stuff in our hearts, and we can make it through. Listen. If we're not going to make the change when a conviction sets in, when we read the word, then why are we reading it? Why bother? If we're not going to make the change, why bother? When you have somebody in your life who never listens to anything you say, do you continue to hang out with that person? I want to find somebody who we have interaction with. We can talk. We can hang out. I mean, really what you're saying is, "God, I hear you, but I'm not willing to listen. I'm not willing to make the change." God says, "Look, my word reveals to you what you are like, and when you make the changes that I speak to you about through my word, you will be blessed for it. I will bless you for this. Your life will become better." The blessing comes in the doing. And when we do what the Word of God says, we have an anchor to cling to when the storms of life hit. Amen? We'll wrap it up with this. I love this verse here. This is a verse that if you've got a storm in life, you can cling to this one. Isaiah 26. "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you." Ugh! Look at that. If you trust in God, He will keep you in perfect peace. You might get rocked a little bit, knocked off balance a little bit, caught off guard by something, but if you remain in him, he will give you perfect peace. If your thoughts are fixed on him, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. He's eternal, he's a rock, he's immovable. Nothing catches him off guard. Nothing catches him off guard. When we read and meditate on God's word, passages like this become a part of who we are. And meditate. I don't mean get weird and, you know, make odd shapes and meditate. Think about what you read. If you need something like this in your life, then write this verse down and then just repeat it to yourself. God, your word says you will keep me in perfect peace if I trust in you, and I do trust in you. God, I need that peace. I could use that peace. God, my thoughts are going to be fixed on you. Help me to make the change. That's meditating on God's word right there. That's it. That's all it is. And then when the storms in life hit, we can refer to his word for the comfort and the strength and the stability and the wisdom and everything we need to get us through that storm. Because it is within these times that we can be encouraged when we see how God is carrying us through the storm. And when we come out of it, we will be better people for it. And then what I like to do is, I just brag on God. You have no idea what I was going through, and God brought me through this. And let me tell you what happened. Amen? Let's pray. I don't know, this one here gets me fired up. This is applicable, right? We can put this into effect in our lives. So, Jesus, I just thank you for this. I thank you for your word, God. I thank you for your truth. I thank you for the stability that you provide each and every one of us and the perfect gifts that you shower upon us. Your goodness is like no other. There is no goodness on this earth that we can find that is better than what Jesus has for us. God is an eternal rock that does not move, does not change, and will always be there for us. So for that, I thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.